Takahi friends, my name is Diana, and this is the Artthenticity podcast where I talk about all things art and all things real. Here you'll find talks about art, business, and being an artist, but also the things that are interwoven between that and being human. Mental health issues, physical health issues, self-esteem, confidence, boundaries, and more. Thanks for tuning in. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Artthenticity. Today we're going to be talking about, or I'm going to be talking about technically, being an artist and having anxiety as an artist. So this is something that I struggle with big time, and it's interesting because now in hindsight, I've realized that I've always sort of struggled with anxiety. And I feel like people normally struggle with anxiety, you know, on a day-to-day basis. Like, it's something that many, if not all of us, struggle with at some point, whether that's like being nervous before a big event or, you know, having anxiety about presenting something or whatever. But there are some of us that, you know, especially introverts, not saying that extroverts don't, okay, not saying that extroverts don't, but saying that especially, you know, introverts tend to have a lot more anxiety in terms of just everything. you know, and again, I don't want to take away like the narrative that extroverts don't feel anxiety. I'm not saying that at all. So please don't take that away from this. But what I'm saying is that a lot of the times it's hard for people who are not good around other people and who are not good about leaving the house and being out in public tend to experience anxiety a lot more, or at least a lot bigger, but that's not the word I'm looking for, but like more like, you know, it's just more of a thing, I guess. I don't know. They feel it more. I don't know. So I noticed that I struggled with anxiety in regards to, as I said, in hindsight, in regards to, you know, like I would get full blown panics before going to work when I was like younger. I used to work as a barista at Starbucks, and at one point I was a shift supervisor, and that was very difficult for me because I was always afraid of just fucking something up. And I always struggled with anxiety just in school and not being able to do certain things or react the way that I wanted to react or what have you. Anxiety about just leaving the house when I was younger. I was very picky with the things that I would do on a day-to-day basis. Still am very picky with things. And anytime there was like a big gathering or get together or family party, I often stood behind. I just didn't like being around so many people, and I just didn't like it. And to this day, I don't like it. You know, I'm not comfortable in big, big groups of people. And I have definitely like grown and learned a lot as to how to sort of control my anxiety and work with it, I guess, and, you know, not let it just control my life, to be honest. And I also want to say that I am not like a chronic anxiety sufferer. People who are very near and dear to me, who are very, very close to me, my family, struggle with panic disorders and anxiety disorders and just like panic in general, having panic attacks about just about everything, you know, and navigating around that with them. I've learned a lot. I've also learned a lot about myself and my own struggles. I struggle a lot in terms of like social anxiety. Like if I were to set up my phone and do a live video on Instagram, I would almost immediately start having a panic attack. I've done this in the past, like on YouTube, I've gone live and stuff, and like my mouth and throat just become dry. I become sweaty and my hands become clammy and I start shivering. That's like my body's way of like experiencing the panic is I start to shiver. I don't know if anyone else has that. But I start to feel cold and my head starts spinning and, I start tripping over my words. Like I say things wrong, especially because I'm not that great at English. I mean, I think I'm a good English speaker, but, I'm just not a good speaker in general. and that's something that I've learned to sort of work with and work at and, you know, like help myself through. And also just expressing the way I feel about things is something that I struggle with. And yeah, so like I do struggle with anxiety, especially social anxiety is something that is like a really, really, really big struggle with me. Part of the reasons why I didn't want to make an art podcast was because of my social anxiety. And then I just decided to do it, you know, so... So yeah, like to this day, I don't see myself ever going live ever unless the camera is like pointed at a canvas and I'm just completely quiet. But apart from that, you know, like I feel really jealous of people who can just, you know, put on the camera and start recording live and just talk to people live. I so badly wish I could do that, but it's something that I'm working through and I'm working on, you know, but anyway, so obviously a lot of the reason why we have anxiety, you know, sometimes it's not easy to pinpoint where it comes from and there's really no clear reason as to why we have it. But then a lot of the time we can see why we have anxiety, right? A lot of the time it's because we're afraid of messing up in public. It's because we're afraid of, not seeming like confident in front of people or just not having the confidence in front of people. It's because we don't want to offend other people. It's because we're afraid of just messing up whatever it is that we're doing. And so the root cause of our anxiety can often be determined, which is great because that means that we can help it, right? You know, so like a lot of my social anxiety comes from self-doubt, you know, it comes from like, am I saying something that isn't true? Or am I saying something that is just opinion and it's not fact? Or am I saying something that's going to offend another person or, you know, whatever. I'm an INFJ. That's my like MBTI personality type. And INFJs, like that's just a typical thing for them to have anxiety over is like offending other people. And it differs for me because at the same time, I'm also the person that I just do what I want and I don't let others dictate what I do. So it's weird. I'm a little bit weird that way. Like, you know, and maybe you have this as well. You agree with or you can relate to this where I kind of like stop and think to choose my words carefully because I don't want to offend anyone. But then there are other things in my life or other, you know, conversations that I have or whatever it is that I just speak like loud and proud about and I really don't care what other people have to say. Like, for example, my wardrobe is one thing, right? Like in terms of like, what are people going to say? That thought, that anxiety, you know, where it's like, oh, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? Like a lot of the times many of us have this in terms of what we look like out in public. I don't, for example, you know, so like I can literally, which I've done plenty of times, wear like pajamas or, you know, sweatpants and like have barely any makeup on and just have like a raggedy ripped up t-shirt and go out in public. And I really can give a shit who says what or what people think, you know. I'm comfortable and I feel good. So that's what matters to me, you know, but then there are other things that are like what I consider of importance, I guess. And not wanting to offend other people and wanting to really just learn in public about that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's weird. It's a little bit tricky. It's a little bit complicated, as with anything in life, really. So I've always struggled with anxiety, really. And I still do to this day. Like, I still go through my episodes and I still have days where I'm just absolutely exhausted because I'm like putting on this face, or I have to like, you know, I'm not looking at something because of the anxiety or like an issue that I need to really look at or assess or whatever, you know. And a lot of times, many of us who have anxiety, this obviously crops up into our career as artists or into our just art, right? Because you don't necessarily have to be like a business person or have a career. I mean, you could be someone, there could be a person listening to this podcast right now and they're not making a career out of their art. It's just something that they love doing, right? And so, yeah, like, obviously this would, you know, come up in our lives, in our art lives and in our art, you know, like painting and buying art supplies and stuff like that, obviously, because anxiety is just anxiety, right? It doesn't just magically go away when you paint. Maybe it does. Maybe for some of us it does, and maybe sometimes it does, but not always, right? So, and I know that this is something that I struggle with. Not so much anymore. I do struggle with it. I'm not going to say that I don't at all. The points that I'm going to be making in this podcast are the things that have helped me to sort of grow and see things from a different perspective in regards to having anxiety and being an artist and painting and stuff. So yes, if you haven't already, you can listen to my podcast, the second episode that I put up before this one, called Coming Out of a Creative Funk. I actually didn't even title it. I just realized because I haven't uploaded it yet. So, but yeah, it'll be uploaded by the time this is uploaded, obviously. So yeah, it's about being in a creative funk and how you can help yourself out of one. And in that episode, I had a question where I was asked, how do you handle anxiety as an artist while creating works of art? And I thought that that was such a perfect question because I was making this episode now, right? Like, the third episode was about anxiety. So in that episode, if you haven't listened to it already, I mentioned to note where that anxiety comes from. Because that's really the only way we can sort of either put a stop to it or reduce the amount of anxiety that we have is if we actually know where it stems from, you know? And so it's very helpful to do this, in regards to just having anxiety in general, whether it's as an artist or not, you know? So note where that anxiety comes from, whether it's, you know, you have anxiety about using a brand new canvas, or you have anxiety about using these really expensive oil paints or really expensive tools or whatever. You have anxiety about using this really rare, you know, medium that you found or whatever, or you have anxiety because you have an appointment that you need to schedule and haven't done that yet, or because you have a bunch of errands that you need to run and you haven't done that yet. So note where this anxiety stems from, and then ask yourself, how can I reduce the anxiety? How can I reduce this thing, right? So this could look like scheduling that appointment before you start painting. It could look like putting on some music. It could look like, you know, not using those expensive paints until you're a little more comfortable with your technique and using, you know, less expensive ones. It could be using $5 canvases that don't cost a lot and that you're not afraid to fuck up if that happens. You know, like those sort of things. Like, what can you do to reduce that stuff, right? Running those errands, getting to those errands before you sit and paint, you know, scheduling that appointment before you get into the groove. You know, whatever it is, how can you reduce that? So that was basically what I spoke about in the last podcast question of the week. So continuing with that, I want to just list a few things, a few ways to help you with anxiety, that have helped me. Sorry, I have a chai here that I'm drinking. And it's so fucking good. Oh my God. It's so good. Wow. Okay, so the first thing that this is one of the most helpful things is talking before you paint. So talking about the anxiety and what it is you're feeling and what it is that's cropping up for you before you start painting, before you get into it, you know, before you, and it's not even just painting, but anything in regards to art, whether this is posting about it on Instagram or the anxiety of posting about it on a blog or, you know, talking about it to other people or going to an exhibition or whatever it is, you know, talking about it, about the anxiety that's coming up for you before you do that thing. And it could either be that you talk to a loved one. So you talk to your significant other, or you talk to a friend, or you talk to yourself, which is what I typically do. I really just have my husband here. And I talk to him sometimes about the anxieties that I'm feeling and things that I'm feeling about my art and my work and all that kind of thing. But most of the time I talk to either my sister who is living in the States, or I, do like voice memo recordings. So, kind of like how I'm doing with this podcast now, I just record myself talking about the way I feel about these things. You know, like I feel anxiety about starting this new painting because, of X, Y, and Z, you know, and then I just talk about it. And once that's done and out of the way and sort of out of my mind, I can move on and concentrate on the painting, you know, or on whatever it is I'm doing. Another thing is not looking at your phone for at least 1 hour before you paint. Okay. And that's the very minimum, very minimal in terms of time, like 1 hour. I would probably say like more than that, 2 hours, 3 hours, if you can do that. And not saying like to put your phone away completely for 3 hours, but you know, don't scroll Instagram for at least an hour, or Facebook for at least an hour, before you paint, because a lot of our anxiety can be subconscious, you know, and it could be things that on the outside, you know, consciously we tell ourselves and we feel like, oh, I don't know where this anxiety is coming from. You know, I just feel it and I'm not sure what it is and, you know, whatever. And so because it's subconscious, it could be that, you know, there's anxiety coming up for you when you scroll Instagram because you have it in your head subconsciously that you have to paint as good as this person over here, or you have to, your skill has to match person A over here or person B on this page or whatever. And so this kind of has to do with what I spoke about yesterday and being in a funk. It's all sort of like related. When you allow yourself to look at these other artworks and, you know, just other stuff in general, we make up these beliefs about our work and ourselves in our subconscious mind often that we don't consciously realize. And so, you know, like I could be scrolling Instagram just before I paint and I see this beautiful painting, and then that subconsciously affects my choices in the painting that I've just started doing. You know, it subconsciously affects it in a way that I want it to look as good as theirs, or, you know, whatever. And then I have all these thoughts that crop up and say, well, that doesn't look right there, or that doesn't look right here. And that's because subconsciously I'm comparing myself to this other work, you know? And so not looking at this stuff for at least an hour before you paint, or even more than that before you paint, is really helpful. Keeping your phone on silent is really helpful so that you're not disturbed and you're not distracted while you are doing your thing, you know? Another thing that is very helpful for me is cleaning my workspace after I've painted. And you obviously don't necessarily have to be a painter, but you know, whether you're a ceramicist, is that a word? Someone who does make ceramics and bowls and cups and mugs and stuff. So whatever it is, like that, or you know, a sketch artist or whatever it is, cleaning up your workspace and organizing it after you've done the work is so helpful, because at least for people who find messes like distracting, INFJs, for example, I cannot think with like disorganization and mess all around me. I don't do well in that. So obviously these tips are not going to help everyone because everyone is different, but, you know, for those of you who find mess is distracting and, you know, you can't focus being distracted with this mess that you've got here, this is so helpful, you guys, like so helpful, because once I'm done, you know, I make quite a mess while I'm painting. I've got brushes everywhere, paint everywhere, all over my hands and everything. It's so helpful to not just let that stuff sit there overnight, obviously, unless I'm using those colors again the next morning. But once I'm done with that stuff, I clean my brushes, I wipe down my work area, I clean off my palette, like as clean as I can get it. I reorganize all my bottles, all my mediums, I put everything away, and I make it nice and clean and clear so that the next day when I'm ready to go back to it, or 2 days later when I'm ready to go back to it, I feel a sense of like energy and revitalization just by looking at my clean workspace. And it makes me want to go back there and paint more, you know, it makes me want to go back there and start back and, you know, get back into it. So that can be another thing. Another thing is to take things one step at a time. Okay. Take things one step at a time. Be patient, give yourself the space that you need, okay? And know that you don't have to do it all at once, okay? You don't have to paint everything at once. You don't have to set this, you know, event right now. Like, you can do this later, you can do this tomorrow if you have the time for it. Make sure that you are not bombarding yourself with a bunch of different things, because obviously that's going to cause anxiety if you can help it, you know. And also know that you don't have to do things at any sort of specific time rate either. I feel like as artists, especially those of us who are trying to become established and professional and like make a name for ourselves in the community online and in person, and, you know, have like a podcast and have a blog and have this really awesome Instagram and all that kind of thing and really awesome art, know that your process is your process and your time is your time. You know, just because person A has it all figured out, it seems, or right now or whatever, they got there in their own time. That's not your time. You know what I mean? Don't compare or judge your process and your journey, you know, by the way other people's processes and journeys look like, because everyone is different and it's always going to be different. And I'm sure you've heard this time and time again. I mean, this is just like everyone knows this, right? But it's so true. It's so true. You really have to think about that and remind yourself of that often. And I often still to this day have to remind myself of that. You know, I see people who seem to have it all figured out and who have these like works of art, whether it's figuring out your style or figuring out, you know, what sort of art you like, or finishing a painting or whatever. The way you work is how you work, okay? And you shouldn't try and mold yourself after the way other people work and what their journey and process looks like and what their Instagram looks like or what their art looks like or their journey or their process or whatever they're doing looks like. You know, you are your own person, okay? And this is your life, not anyone else's life. It's your process, it's your journey, and however long it takes for you to get to where you want to be is how long it takes, and that's it, you know. Another thing is to exercise beforehand. This may not, you know, like obviously if you have disabilities and stuff and you can't do this, obviously don't feel compelled to, or like you have to. This is just for people who feel like it or want to. I know that for me personally, exercise helps, because it releases endorphins. So exercising for maybe like 20 minutes, 10 minutes before I get into it and just like, you know, get my blood pumping and get my endorphins and all this kind of stuff rushing through my system and the detoxification that happens with exercise and just getting that all out and then just putting on a podcast or some music and jumping into painting is really helpful. And another thing I wrote here was to get to errands first. Okay, so this is what I just finished mentioning. You want to make sure that if you have anything to do, to make sure that you do that stuff first and foremost in the morning before you get to the art, because in that way we reduce that, like, oh, I have to get to this, I have to get to that, I have to do this, you know, while you paint, and it distracts you, obviously, and it causes anxiety. So in regards to thoughts that crop up while painting, so this is something that I struggle with all the time, in terms of like having anxiety as an artist. It more so comes up when I am actually painting, like when I'm actually doing the work. So a couple of things that I have used as like reminders for myself is, remind yourself that you can always change things, okay? Especially in regards to like painting with oil or acrylic or whatever, you can always change that stuff, you know? I feel like especially painting as like an art medium is so forgiving in terms of like mistakes. Like with acrylic, you just wait 5 minutes and you can literally just paint over that. I mean, how freaking simple, right? Like you just paint over it. You can always change that. And then with oils, you can either just wipe it off the canvas or just wait until it dries and then cover it up or, you know, or whatever. And so the second one is remind yourself that you can do it again. So that's another thing, is like you can always paint over it, or you can just finish what you were doing and then on a different canvas you start something fresh and you use those same colors and you just do it again and you see what happens. And so reminding ourselves that nothing really with painting is permanent, or even drawing, like that's why you have erasers, right? Especially digital art, you just press the undo button and that's it. You know, so like actually getting into digital art might help you with this. If this is something that you struggle with, like I'm afraid to mess up, I would definitely recommend that you start getting into digital art just to help ease yourself with anxiety, or like do a little bit of digital art as a warm up before you get into the painting. Because what that does is it, you know, digital art, you really have that sense of security because all you have to do is, you know, you draw or you paint or whatever. And then if you don't like it, you can literally just click undo and it's gone and it's just doesn't exist anymore, you know? And so that's really helpful. But yeah, even with like painting, I'm not sure how it is with like other things. Like, you know, I know that drawing and painting is easy because, unless you're doing like ink work, then obviously I would sketch with pencil first, instead of just freestyling and then just erase the parts that I don't like. But, with other art things, like, I don't know, like, creating like clay, you know what I mean? Working with clay, making sculptures and stuff. I'm not completely sure if it's as easy, but, in terms of like painting or whatever and like drawing, you can just erase it or paint over it, you know, wait for it to dry and paint over it or just wipe it away. And so just keep reminding yourself of that. If you perhaps do paint like a brush stroke that wasn't supposed to go there or something, I don't know. Or a color that you use that you ended up not liking. I actually ran into this issue in a, real-time video that I did for my newsletter subscribers. Basically I give out a lot of like free stuff and like mini tutorials and all that kind of thing via my newsletter. And one thing that I've started doing is painting in real time. You know, painting my, making artwork in real time, like having it recorded via video, and then sometimes from start to finish, sometimes just in between and stuff. And then I release that to my newsletter subscribers so they can see me work. Because with time lapse, you don't often see what's going on because it's so fast, you know? So I started doing this for my subscribers. So if you're interested in seeing that stuff, feel free to join my newsletter. You can just go on my website, and it's there. So Diana Ulv Art. So that's Diana with two N's, L-U-L-V Art. Weebly.com. And you just scroll down and you can join my newsletter and you'll start getting those videos. So, you know, I did a real-time painting of one of my pieces, and I used yellow and yellow ochre specifically. Is that how you say that? I don't even know. Okra? I'm not even sure, but whatever. I used that on my painting and I didn't like the way it looked. And so I literally just blended it all out and I chose a different color. You know what I mean? So you can always just keep reminding yourself as you're painting, I can always do this again. I can always erase this. I can always just chip this out. I can always paint over this. I can always wait for it to dry and do something else on top of that. You know, it can always be changed and fixed and whatever. Because especially with abstract work, that lack of control can cause anxiety, you know, especially like fluid art, like fluid work, like fluid acrylic pouring and stuff, can cause anxiety because you have to relinquish a certain amount of control. You're not sure where it's going to go, right? Or what it's going to even look like at the end of it. So, and that's another good thing too. I feel like me being a fluid artist in the past, not so much anymore, but when I would do fluid art, I feel like doing fluid art really helped me to learn how to relinquish control. So if you haven't already, definitely give that a go. Because I used to do a lot of that. And I feel like because of my journey with doing fluid work, I've learned how to just let it be and, do it again if I felt like I needed to, you know? The next thing is to remind yourself that you are always growing and learning, and that this is just another lesson. You are always growing and learning. Your art is always going to change. It's always going to evolve, you know? And so if you've done something on the canvas that you're not a fan of, or that you wish you could change, or that you wish looked different, just count that as a lesson. You know, remind yourself of, oh, okay, so that was something that I didn't want to do because it doesn't look the way I want it to. But now I know not to do that specific thing. Now I know not to put those two colors together, for example. Or now I know not to use a palette knife for that sort of effect anymore. You know, and just take the mistakes, or so-called mistakes, seemingly mistakes or whatever. And change the perspective around that. Look at it as a lesson learned as opposed to failure, you know. And, you know, another thing that has to do with that is to remind yourself that there will be no growth. There will be no learning, and there will be no evolution of your art, your style, your technique, if you remain stagnant and are too afraid of risk and change. That's another thing, you know. That has to do with what I mentioned previously, is if you are too scared of, or like too paranoid or afraid to paint with these colors, or to try this technique, or to try this with this palette knife or whatever, and you just stay comfortable, for example, you have to get really comfortable with discomfort, to be honest. You know, if you refuse to try these different techniques and different things, how is your art going to evolve? How will it ever get better for you? Like, how will you ever learn? How will you discover new things? You know, there is no way to have any of that if you don't take that risk, if you don't make that change, if you don't just say, fuck it, I'm going to try it. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much it for the podcast in regards to the topic of discussion for today. Now we are going to get into today's question of the week. Okay, so the question of the week for this episode is, I feel like I'm such a bad artist. How do I continue making art when I feel that way about my work? Thank you. Thank you for sending in the question. I feel like I'm such a bad artist. How do I continue making art when I feel that way about my work? I think that you just continue making art, to be perfectly honest. I feel like there really is no other way to sort of combat that, because at some point everyone feels that way about their work. I'm looking at a piece right now that I don't like, you know, that I painted the other day, and I'm kind of feeling like I'm not a fan of it and I've got to make some changes, you know. But just knowing that that's a perfectly normal response. You know, a lot of people don't feel good about their work, and a lot of them don't feel like their art is good or, you know, whatever. And the only way to beat that is to just continue making art, whether you like it or not. Because you also have to remember, I mentioned this in my last episode, that art is subjective, you know, and art is something that just because you don't like it doesn't mean that other people will like it. But I do understand that liking our own work is very important. And I know that if there's something I am not a fan of, I won't put it out for sale because I don't feel good about it, you know, because really I just sort of paint for myself. I don't really paint for other people. And so it's important for me to like what I paint, you know? And I have absolutely been in, it's taken me quite a while to, you know, sort of, I guess, find my style or my niche or whatever you want to call it. And between all those times and, you know, experimenting and doing all that kind of stuff, I have definitely been at odds with my work. You know, I've definitely looked at my work and thought, oh, this is so bad. Like, why can't I just be a better painter or be a better artist? Like, I just really don't like my work. And the truth is, I just finished talking about this in terms of like, you know, the evolution and risk and change. Just realizing that you are never going to improve unless you actually put in the work. You know, nothing is ever going to change unless we physically decide to do something about it. You know, you have to put in those hours. You have to start painting and continue painting through the mess, through the gunk, through feeling like I don't like this, I don't like this. You know, use canvas after canvas, or, you know, if you can afford it, obviously, or paper after paper, or, you know, pastel after pastel, or whatever. You have to continue learning and growing and shifting and discovering, you know, and eventually you'll get to a place where you start to feel a little bit more comfortable, and then you just keep going there and keep going and keep going, and then you'll feel even more comfortable, and then you get to a place where you're okay with your art, and then you'll get to a place where you feel good about your art, and then you get to a place where you love your art, you know. And so really the only way, I would say, is to just continue doing it. Continue painting, continue making those works, continue learning as well is another thing that may help you. Maybe you feel like you're a bad artist because your colors are off or whatever reason, you know. For you anyway, it feels like your colors are off. And maybe just a lesson or a few lessons in color theory might help you. And so look into that sort of stuff. What, try and pinpoint with your art, what is it about my art that I don't like about it? Is it the way that I use my brushes, like the brush strokes? Is it the palette knife work? Is it the colors? Like, what is it about my art that I am not a fan of, you know? And see how you can learn from that and grow and discover, you know. And if it's about colors, like, I don't like the way that these colors look together, it just looks weird, it looks like someone threw up all over my canvas, you know what I mean, then go on YouTube and look up color theory take some notes, learn about color theory, learn about, you know, how you can use palette knives in your work, learn about how you can, you know, do shading with pencil, or learn about how you can, you know, sculpt, you know, certain things or whatever. Learn about these things, you know, do some research about it, educate yourself around that, and see if that helps, you know, improve the way you feel about it. So yeah. So that's pretty much it for question of the week. And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I invite you to please rate it. Please subscribe if you are not already subscribed. Feel free to screenshot this episode if you've learned a lot from it. If you feel like it would help other people, share it on your Insta story, share it on your Facebook, tell your friends, tell your family, do all that kind of stuff. You know, so, and yes, that's pretty much it. Thanks so much for listening again. I will see you in the next episode.